I was just in Wisconsin visiting family, and we always head up to Door County, that super quaint peninsula with Green Bay on one side and Lake Michigan on the other. In the town of Sister Bay, there's a place called Al Johnson's Swedish Restaurant and Boutique. And its claim to fame is that goats graze on the roof of the building. They cover the roof with grass, put the goats up there each day, so all day long they munch away, and people love it. And they take photos of it, and they eat at the restaurant, and they buy the t-shirt. So with that fun bucolic image in my mind, it seems kind of strange that in today's gospel reading, it's the goats who go to eternal punishment. While the sheep merrily file into the kingdom of God. Goats always struck me as kind of friendly and good. We even call their little ones kids. While everyone knows that sheep, well, they're just bad. Back in Jesus' day, shepherds often mixed their flocks so sheep and goats would graze together. But at night it got cold and they were separated. The sheep with their warm woolen coats were fine out in the open pasture. But the goats were herded into warmer, more sheltered areas. Other times sheep were separated out to be sheared or goats needed milking. So that image that Matthew uses of separating sheep and goats would have been familiar to listeners of this story back in the day. But what might have shocked them is how the sorting process became a metaphor for the last judgment. Now, if you've been paying attention in church these past few weeks, you might have noticed a theme of end times running through our gospel readings. Chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew are one long discourse from Jesus on the end of the world, the eschaton. He urges his disciples to remain faithful, be wise, like the smart bridesmaids who had extra oil for their lamps. Be resourceful, like that entrepreneurial slave who doubled his master's 5 talents into 10. And today, be merciful, like the sheep who cared for those in need all around them. This is the final discourse of Jesus in Matthew. It's the last talk he has with his disciples before he's arrested and crucified. And so he basically lays it all out for his listeners. Be faithful, be wise, resourceful, and merciful, and you will be welcomed into my kingdom. Well, that seems pretty clear cut. And yet, maybe like me, you've sometimes found yourself wondering, am I prepared like the wise bridesmaids, or am I foolish? Am I the industrious 10 talents guy, or am I the lazy, scared one who buried his 1 talent in the ground? And am I a compassionate sheep or an indifferent goat? Apparently, the answer to these questions will mean the difference between entering the heavenly banquet or weeping and gnashing your teeth in the outer darkness for all eternity. So it's kind of important. But you know, I'm just going to cut to the chase here. Our focus in today's gospel reading should not be on whether we make the cut and get into heaven, whether we're sheep, whether we're good enough. As much as that seems to be the message and the warning, that is not the point today. The point of today's gospel message is this: to learn to see with eyes that behold the Christ in everyone. Just as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. So, not the self-centered, will I get into heaven? But the other-focused, how can I lighten the burden of another? If you learn to see with eyes like that, all the rest will follow. And you will see the pearly gates, because you will have lived a life that already witnesses to the divine in all things. Again, pretty clear-cut, and yet not so simple, because we're human, because we tend to leave the helping others in need stuff to when we have free time, or extra money, or after we've met our own needs and that of those we love. In a way, I do hear in today's reading Jesus telling us, even if you did it just once to the least of these, you did it to me. That once is enough. Yet I can't help but feel that we are being pointed towards something more comprehensive, towards a change of heart, that the just once is meant to be the gateway into many instances of kindness or generosity on our part, that we'll get hooked on loving the stranger. In fact, Jesus is really talking about a new way of life, of regularly giving up some of our comfort so that the least of these, the unloved, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned, can know love, can feel just for a little while that they mattered to someone when we are kind to them. It is telling to me that neither the sheep nor the goats realize how they're behaving towards others. When did I see you and help you? When did I turn away from you with indifference? The sheep's kindness and the goat's thoughtlessness are simply who they are. It's their nature. It's how they behave. They have seen or not seen the face of Christ in that homeless person or that prisoner. They naturally sent a card to the sick parishioner, or they didn't even think twice about it and moved on. In some ways, who we are has already been set by our patterns of behavior up until now. But I am here to tell you, it is possible to change. Now, I've preached probably 3 or 4 times up here about a homeless person who sometimes annoys the heck out of me. Let's call her Beverly. I won't go into why she bugs me, but I will say that I always feel terrible after I have ignored or avoided her. You're not setting a good example, I think to myself. So I try a little harder the next time. Now, Michael King, our parish administrator, on the other hand, is always gracious to every homeless person who rings our bell or knocks on our door every day looking for mail or food or money. I don't know how he does it. He is a saint. I am not. But just last week, I realized that Beverly hasn't been bothering me as much anymore. We kind of get along. She calls me Father Rick and doesn't get in my face as much. I'm somehow nicer to her, and I think she's noticed it. Trial and error, and trial and error. Slowly but surely, I've become kinder. Now, there'll be relapses, but I don't really avoid her anymore. I even ask how she's doing sometimes, knowing that I will be standing there for the next 10 minutes hearing her answer. Now, I am far from perfect, and I will be the first to tell you that. But I honestly believe that we can learn to be better if we set our heart and mind on it. You see, this parable today is really about deciding whether to be open-hearted or constricted in your heart. The sheep are those who respond to the people around them with caring. The goats are those who are so constricted in their heart that they don't even notice the needs of others. Regardless of whether there's a hell or not, if you're constricted in your heart, you create your own kind of hell, shut off from true joy. But if you open your heart, you create heaven in your life, and you share the kingdom with others. Think of a person that you know who just beams sweetness or kindness from their face. It's like a glow, isn't it? That goodness. Work at being a sheep. Among other benefits, you will be helping the least of these blossom by showing them love, which will in turn enable them to become more open-hearted towards others. One last point. Why does Jesus bring up such harsh imagery, goats going into eternal fire and punishment, if the message is simply see Christ in everyone? Well, I kind of think it's because people need to be scared into behaving. Scared straight, as we used to say. And I think we human beings, we even like to be threatened with judgment. We almost prefer to see our existence as reward and punishment. We like being told what to do. I saw an obituary a few days ago for Bishop Carlton Pearson, an evangelical pastor who had a huge following. He died at age 70. In his heyday, he preached fire and brimstone, eternal damnation, if we did not do as Christ demanded. But in the 1990s, he had an epiphany and announced to his flock that he no longer believed in hell. "We are all going to heaven," he announced. Then he took it a step further and said that God loved everyone, even gays and lesbians. Well, what do you think happened? They reviled him. He was kicked out of his denomination. His congregation eventually shrunk from 20,000 to a few hundred. But he never recanted his message of unconditional love. The obituary got me thinking how sometimes we need to be threatened in order to do good deeds. Maybe that's why we have this parable of the sheep and the goats. Today we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King. This commemoration began in 1925, and it was the church's response to a post-World War I world of nationalism, fascism, and secularism. It was meant as a reminder that there is a greater kingship that rules over all nations. We commemorate it today in a world that remains as violent and broken as ever. May we remember our call to be ambassadors of that kingdom, sheep among wolves, revealing its truth in our words, in our actions, and in our love. Amen.